I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Reading today comes from Daniel 3, 1 through 30. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and he stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. And as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all other kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all other kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so that these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your hand, from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied a king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be burned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. May the Lord's blessing be added to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Angela. This morning, one of the many things about the Bible that just amazes me is how pertinent it is today, even though the events happened thousands of years ago. I ask myself, what's the common denominator between then and now? People. We seem to have a problem, just like they did back then, in learning that God is who we should go to first, learning that God's commands are for us to follow. We just don't seem to remember very long, do we? It's a shame. Now, this story we've just heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've heard since the early days of our religious upbringing. Back then, I don't know about you, but I marveled at their courage. And I was amazed that God protected them. As I grew, and as we grew, and we've learned about the Lord in a very personal way, many of us began to experience the pressure being exerted on us in our walk with God. Most of us have come to understand the truth that being called a Christian is difficult. It's not easy. We have found that we are at odds with the world and how the world lives. We are at odds with the devil and what he wants. We're even at odds with our own flesh that we live in and what it wants us to do. With all those conflicts, temptation arises its head for us to conform to all the influences around us and go the way of the world. Unfortunately, that's what much of the Christian community today is doing. We see churches, homes, families, and individuals who have left the high road of separation and have sold out to the world. We often hear the phrase, to get along, go along. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teach us a valuable lesson that it's possible to be on fire with God when most of the world around us is headed for hell. Where there is a genuine faith in Jesus Christ, there is a fire. We want others to know. Our enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil, will try to put those flames out. And they'll try to mold us, in their image, just like Nebuchadnezzar wanted to mold everybody to his gold statue. But we can live for God. The choice is ours. Now, Nebuchadnezzar made this idol of gold, image of himself, big thing. And he set himself up as a god. And his decree was for all men to bow or die in a furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced a serious dilemma. There were temptations they had to overcome in three specific areas. And it's interesting to me that these areas are the same that face each one of us today. They wanted to guard their positions. There was a temptation to look after theirself in this matter and guard their personal interest. They may have been tempted to say, after all, we're in positions of great influence. Who knows what we can accomplish for God? But if we get ourselves killed, we'll be of no use to them. Or they may have wanted to avoid persecution. They may have been tempted to say, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Isn't it better to be living a coward than a dead hero? Besides, that furnace looks like a painful way to go. Surely God doesn't intend for his children to suffer that. Or maybe they wanted to conform to their peers. There was a temptation for them to be like everybody else. Perhaps there was a temptation to say, after all, the other people here are bowing. What's it going to hurt? I'll just bow on the outside, but I'll be standing in my heart. Now, we certainly think like that today. We have a tendency to seek that which is best for ourselves. And while doing that may please us, if we want to make an impact for God and this world around us, then we must be different. Notice how these three men were different in their day. The same needs to be true concerning each one of us today. These three men were willing to be different from everyone else who was around them. There certainly weren't many in that day who were willing to be different. Yet that is just what is needed. We need to be different. Think about it. Who wants to be called weird? That's why people follow the facts or fads in hairstyle and clothing. That's why everyone learns the newest turns and the hip expressions. That's why millions get hooked up with the same TV shows or smartphones. Why we don't want to be different. We all want to be the same. We want the same things. We want the same look. We want to talk the same. And we want to act the same as everybody else. Nobody wants to be different, but that is just what the Lord has called us to be. He has called us to be different. God wants his people to look different, to talk different, to think different, and to act different than the world around us. He wants us to be separated, set apart. Why does he want that? He wants us to be different so that we stand out, drawing the world's attention to him. While everyone else in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was bowing before the idol, these three men were standing up straight. Millions did that then and do it today. But not these men. They'd made up their minds that they would not bow, and they didn't. That certainly is a good example for us today. There are things that are wrong. It doesn't matter who may be for them. They are still wrong. And we need to make up our minds that we will take a stand against that which is wrong and for that which is right. Each of us needs to realize that there are still some precious things that are worth standing for. and some wicked things worth standing against. When these fellows refused to bow to that idol, some other folks told the king. We have a lot of that happen today too, don't we? As a result, these men were called to the carpet and given another opportunity to do it the king's way. While they chose to be different when they were in the crowd, here they chose to be determined where they stood in the presence of the king. Their determination stands as an example for us today. The Bible tells us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose God's way over man's way. So today, when you're tired of the world's games and you begin to stand for Jesus, you can count on the world turning against you. They hated Jesus and they hate his people. But when they rise up against you, be determined that you will stand for Jesus. When the time came, he stood up for us. The least we can do is stand up for him. Old Nebuchadnezzar gave him an opportunity to bow when they were together, where no one else could hear him and see him. You can almost hear him whisper, "I know you boys are believers of the God of the Hebrews, but nobody's looking right now. Why not just bow down real quick and it'll be over with? You can keep your jobs and the people will respect your testimony." There are times when the world will try to pin us down about what we believe. The world and the people in it will try to tighten the screws on us and make us squirm because they think differently, because we think differently than they do. We have no reason to back away from what we are. We have no reason to be ashamed of what we are. And we have no reason to be ashamed of who we belong to. Now, the example that these three boys set for us is priceless. They loved God and could not be intimidated into doing anything against him. What a lesson for us today. We live in a day when many churches and professing Christians are crumbling under the pressures of the world. If there was ever a day when we determined to take a stand, it's these days in which we live. Do you want to get on fire with God? Then be different and be determined. We have no guarantees that we will be protected from trouble because we believe. In fact, often the opposite is true. But then this isn't a pleasure cruise we signed up for. If you're living for Jesus, you will make enemies as you pass through this world. Some ask, "Well, why didn't God save them or even spare them from the fire?" Well, it could be because he got more glory by sparing them through the fire. God may let us go into the fire as we pass through life, but we can rest on his promise that when you find yourself in the fire, you'll find that Jesus is right there beside you. Remember, God didn't keep them from the fire. He kept them through the fire. What the devil means for our destruction, God uses for our good and his glory. Now, old Nebuchadnezzar called him out of the fire. Man, he was amazed. He sees them not burned. In fact, they didn't even smell smoke on them. So the point is, God may let you go through fire, but you will not go alone. He will be with you. And if he brings us out, or even if we die in that furnace, we are winners either way. By the way, one thing to remember, when we take a stand for Jesus, even the enemies will have more respect for us than the friends we make by straddling the fence. There are times when we may be faced with fire. Sometimes, if we're honest, we would admit that we have backed down instead of facing that flame. Maybe that describes you or me. If so, you can get forgiveness for the things you have done wrong and take your stand for him. Remember, Jesus is with us in all our tribulations. So wherever this message has found you today, you need to remember that there is hope and there is help with our Lord if we get on fire with Jesus. Pray with me, please. Our Father, be with us as we follow in the ways you have taught us. Make us stronger to withstand the pressures of the world as we pass through. Help us to have the strength to let others know that our belief is in you. And lead us with your gentle guidance to the eternal home you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.